Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Bless you. All right, I'm going to crack on and speak. Is that all right? Yeah. Clive, are you all right? You're going to stand up the whole time. Is that not going to be... You're going to be all right. You can count. You can just stand up the whole time if you like, but you might get tired. You can't ever get here. Anyway, shall we go for it? Everyone, just wave at me if you're still awake and with us. Okay, brilliant. Okay. So I want to speak a bit about hungering for God's presence. So I just to tell you a bit about myself, I moved to Bedford, which is just north of London, in 1996 when I was 18, and have had a beautiful journey with Jesus. I work part-time for the church now, and then the rest of my time I get to travel and speak to different churches, and I'm very passionate about seeing the church full of life. And I'm 42. I know that's a shocker. You don't have to all look so shocked, but I am 42, and I'm not married. I don't have children. I'm not married, and that was never the dream. But I absolutely love being single, and I recognise that it is a gift from Jesus. And that all the time I'm single, it is His gift to me. And I know I'm also called to be a mother, and I'm excited. I love mothering people wherever I go. That is what I'm called to do. So I'm very, very blessed, and just so in love with God, and He is amazing. He is amazing. So that's a little bit about me. But when I first moved to Bedford, I did an Alpha course. How many of you have done Alpha? Anyone? Yeah, quite a lot of you. Okay. So I did an Alpha course, and it got to the Holy Spirit weekend. And as I was growing up, I used to go to a Baptist church, but there wasn't really any mention of the Holy Spirit. And I remember going to a few meetings as I was growing up and seeing the Holy Spirit move. And so I would see people laugh and cry and shake and fall over, and I would be freaked out. I'd be like, what the heck is this? And so I decided I didn't really want anything to do with the Holy Spirit, because he freaked me out. So anyway, I did this Alpha course. We got to the Holy Spirit weekend, and there was an opportunity at the end of the weekend to stand and receive the Holy Spirit for the first time. And I was pretty nervous about it, because I didn't know what he was going to do to me. You know, like, what's he going to do? But I'd seen something in the people leading the course that I was very appealing. There was like a life behind their eyes and an excitement in their hearts. And I just knew I didn't have that. And so I thought to myself, if I can have what they've got, I want it. And so they invited us to stand to receive the Holy Spirit. And I stood up and I put my hands out, and God just met with me in a beautiful way. Like, it wasn't like, it wasn't extravagant in any way. It was just like, I just felt the intimacy, the closeness of God, like I'd never felt him before. And I remember crying a lot, just weeping, because I suddenly was like, oh my gosh, God, you're actually real. You know how you know that God's real, but then you meet with God and you're like, oh my gosh, you're real. But not only are you real, you want to meet with me and you love me. And I just felt warmth and love just flow through me, and it was just absolutely life-changing. And I think since then, the hunger in my heart for God's presence has just kept increasing. And since that time, I've had encounters with God where I've laughed, where I've cried, where I've shaken in the spirit, where I've felt heat in me, where I've fallen over. I've had like the whole range of experiences. And every time I meet with God, I am changed. Every time God comes and meets within me, I am changed. In his presence, when his presence comes, it changes you. And, you know, the more I encounter the presence of God, the more I long for him. And what in my experience and where I'm at right now is, in God's presence, I feel most myself. That's how I describe it. I feel most at home in the presence of God. I feel most secure and confident and peaceful in the presence of God. It's where I feel most at home. And the truth is, actually, it's where all of us are most at home, because we've been made for his presence. We've been made for relationship and intimacy with him. And when we get to heaven, where we'll be fully alive, it's because we are going to be face to face with him and in his presence all the time. And on the earth, we get glimpses of those moments where God comes and you're like, oh, this is home. This is what I've been made for. And I just want to speak to us this morning a little bit about being hungry for the presence of God, because there's always more. And I don't know about you, but I think sometimes we settle for too little of the presence of God. And I want to talk about Moses and just talk about an experience that Moses had with God, which shows us Moses' hunger for God. And so we're going to look at Exodus 33. And let me just give you the context. Moses has led the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt through the Red Sea, and they're in the Promised Land. But the Israelites have messed up. They've rebelled against God. And God says, listen, I'm going to send you to the Promised Land, but I'm not going to go with you because you've messed up. And if I come with you, it's not going to look pretty. So he says to Moses, I'm not going to come with you guys. I will send an angel, but I'm not going to come. And it says this in Exodus 33, verse 2. God says, I will send an angel before you to drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. In other words, your enemies. Go up to this land that flows with milk and honey, but I will not travel among you, for you are a stubborn and rebellious people. If I did, I would surely destroy you along the way. So that's what God says to Moses. Now, I don't know about you, I would be fairly tempted to take the offer of the angel. Because if what God says here is, look, I'm going to send an angel before you. Angels are very powerful beings. You look at scripture, and whenever an angel rocked up, people fell on their faces. Angels saw breakthrough all over the place. So angels are very powerful beings. And God promises Moses, I will drive out your enemies and you will inherit the Promised Land. So not only is an angel going to go with them, but also their enemies are going to be dealt with and they are going to step into the promises over their lives. And I would have been tempted to think, okay, that's right, I'll take the angel and the promises. But what you see with Moses is that the prize for Moses wasn't that his enemies were dealt with or that he stepped into the promises of God. The prize for Moses was God himself. Moses' passion above everything else was God's presence. And so what happens is Moses goes to God and says, please come with us. This is not going to be good. I want you to come. And what we see is that God relents and he says to Moses, okay, I will go with you and I will give you rest. So Moses has gone to God and said, please, I want you to come. And God says, okay, I'll come with you and I'll give you rest. And you could end up thinking, well, that was enough. You know, okay, God has said to Moses, he's going to go with him. But you see this hunger pour out of Moses' heart for God in Exodus 33, verse 15. And Moses says this, it says, then Moses said, if you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and your people, if you don't go with us? For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all the other people on the earth. Moses has had a beautiful revelation here. It's the presence of God that sets us apart from everyone else. I don't know about you, but that is my desire. When people meet me, the only thing that separates me and sets me apart from anyone on the planet who doesn't know God is the presence of God. His presence with me is what sets me apart. I tell you, it's the same for our churches. I don't know about you, but my longing for my church is that people walk through the doors and think, hang on a minute, there's something different here. Why? Because God is in the midst. I mean, you know, you could do a, so, you know, think about worship. If you just wanted to sing, you could go and join a choir. Go and stand in a choir, enjoy a bit of singing. But the thing that will set our singing apart from a choir is that God is there. That God is in our midst. And Moses said to God, look, God, I know you've said you're going to come with us, but if you don't come with us, don't, I'm not going anywhere, because it's only your presence that is going to show everyone else that you are with us and that we're your people. And he was so hungry for the presence of God. I don't know about us. How are we? Are we hungry for the presence of God? Are we saying, God, if you don't feel me this morning, don't send me out, because your presence is the only thing that people, they're going to look at me and say, hang on a minute, there's something different about you. Are we hungry for the presence, or have we fallen into being satisfied with much less? Moses was hungry. And so God tells Moses again, okay, I'm going to go with you. I've told you once. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. I'm going to go with you. It's okay, Moses, I'm going to go with you. And again, you might think Moses would be like, okay, great, God's going to come with us. But you see another level of hunger bubble out of Moses' heart, because he says to God then, now show me your glory. I love it. I just love it. Moses is such a provocation to me, because God has said to me, okay, Moses, I'm going to come with you. It could have been enough. But Moses says, now God, show me your glory. Show me your glory. I want to encounter you. I want to meet with you. And what you see bubbling out of Moses' heart was not passion for God to drive out his enemies or passion for God's presence to step into the promises of God. It wasn't, God, I want you for all this stuff I'm going to do. It was, God, I want you because I just love you. I just want you. You are the prize. You are the reward. God, show me your glory. I want to see you. I want to know more of you. Such a provocation. And he ends up having a beautiful encounter with God. How about us? How hungry are we for the presence of God, for his presence in our lives? Are we prioritizing his presence? Are we saying, Father, would you come and fill me again? Not just for the stuff we're called to, but because we just want him. Because we know that when he comes, we just feel most at home. We know that intimacy with him changes everything. You know, what we see of Moses in this story actually points us towards Jesus. It's like Moses is a foretaste of Jesus. It points to a bigger and better rescue and to a time when the presence of God is available to all believers. You know, in the Old Testament, the presence of God would only come on particular people. But now, because of Jesus, all of us can encounter the presence of God. Moses led the nation of Israel out of slavery in Egypt into freedom through the Red Sea. Jesus leads us, all of us, out of slavery to sin and separation from God into freedom through the cross and into relationship with our Heavenly Father and into promises that he's spoken over our lives. Moses teaches us what it looks like to be hungry for God and to prioritize his presence. And then when you fast forward to Jesus, you see Jesus reinforcing the importance of the presence of God for his people. So, you know, just before Jesus goes up to heaven, he says to his disciples, guys, don't go anywhere or do anything until you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. It kind of underlines what we see in Moses. Jesus says, guys, you need the presence of God before you do anything. And so Moses says to the Father, don't send us out from here if you don't come with us. We need your presence to come. Jesus says, guys, don't go anywhere or do anything until you have the presence of God, until you have the Holy Spirit in you to work through you. And so it was hugely important to Jesus as well that his followers were filled with the Spirit, that he understood the importance of this. In fact, he says to his disciples, it's actually better if I go so that I can send the Holy Spirit to you. I mean, that would have been nuts for the disciples. Can you imagine spending 3 years with Jesus, just watching him, being with him, learning from him, and then him saying, it's actually better that I'm going to go. You think, really? It's incredible, isn't it? If Jesus walked in the room and the Holy Spirit walked in the room, who would you rather have with you? It's an interesting thing to ponder. Jesus' mindset was, it's better that I go so I can send the Spirit. He's going to help you. Beautiful. Let me just finish with this. I just want to talk through a few things that are amazing about being filled with the Spirit, some things we can enjoy, and then we're going to just pray. And there's so many other things I could talk about, but let me just tell you some of the things I love about being full of the Spirit and prioritizing his presence. I think the first thing is I love that in God's presence there's fullness of joy. We get to experience joy in the presence of God. And it's funny, you guys seem like quite a joyful bunch, but it is funny to me how much joy can offend people. So when I go to churches and suddenly God's presence comes and someone starts laughing, it's not always enjoyed by people. I think we're very comfortable with people crying in the Spirit. When people actually laugh and have fun, we're like, oh, what's going on there? But do you know what? Jesus was anointed with joy above his companions. I would love to see that. I wonder what that looked like. When the Holy Spirit comes, when God's presence comes, there's joy. And that's powerful. Joy is powerful. I remember getting healed of a stomach condition through laughing in the Spirit. God just met with me and I was just laughing and laughing and laughing. I got up off the floor and suddenly I realized, I think I'm healed. Joy is powerful. So we can enjoy joy or peace or comfort or hope, faith. Basically, anything that's true of God, we get to experience in the presence of God because we are meeting with God, which is really fun. In God's presence, we get to experience God as our Father because it's the Holy Spirit who reveals that truth to us. God is Father. And I think for me in my life, that's been one of the most key revelations, has been knowing that God is actually my dad, and learning about what that means to have God as my father, and knowing who I am as a daughter who's loved by him, has been huge. And you can't study really hard to get that. You need the Holy Spirit to show you. He's called the Spirit of Adoption. So it's the Holy Spirit who shows us. He's the one who helps us to understand our adoption as sons and daughters. And so in God's presence, we get to experience more of that. One of the names Jesus gives the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth. So the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth, which means, number one, he shows us Jesus, because Jesus is the truth. So he reveals Jesus to us. But also, when we read the Bible, it's why we need to read Scripture with the Holy Spirit, because he's the one who gives us revelation. You read it with the Spirit of God. He guides us into truth. He shows us what the truth is. He gives us revelation. In God's presence, people are convicted of sin. Tell you what, the Holy Spirit is the best evangelist there is. You know, and I understand sometimes when churches use their Sundays they want to keep their Sundays kind of appealing to unbelievers so that unbelievers feel comfortable. My personal conviction is, people who don't know Jesus are longing to encounter God. That's what they've been made for. And actually, the Holy Spirit is brilliant at convicting people. He is the best evangelist. So if he rocks up in a meeting when there's people who don't know Jesus, he's going to look after them. And he's going to reveal God to them. So the Holy Spirit does that. He convicts people who don't yet know Jesus. He convicts us of our sin, and he draws us back to the Father. It's beautiful. And then lastly, in God's presence, there's power. And when God comes, you know, people get set free from spiritual oppression. Hope gets restored. Despair gets broken off of people. People get to express pain. People get healed. People get saved. I mean, anything can happen. I remember reading a story about the Azusa Street Revival. And it's an amazing revival with lots and lots of the presence of God. So much so that there would be like tongues of fire that would come on the building, and people would often call the fire service because they would say, the building's on fire. But actually, it was the Holy Spirit manifesting in like flames. I think that must have been nuts. But the amount of breakthrough that happened, I mean, the presence of God was so thick. It said in this book, it said the kids used to play hide and seek in the presence of God, because there was such an incredible mist of the presence of God, and people got healed easily in the presence of God. Just like arms, like a story of an arm growing out, someone who had no arm, and God regrew the arm. Now, if that doesn't make you go, what? Then you need to stir your heart to be blown away by the power of God. And if it makes you think that's not possible, then again, we need to get in God's presence and realize nothing is impossible for God. He can do absolutely anything. With one word, he can change anything. He can do anything. In his presence, there's power. And so I just want to encourage us, guys. I just want to encourage you. I can already feel the hunger among you guys, but it's easy, isn't it, to just go through the motions and get a bit settled. But I think what we have to do is really stir ourselves to say, Father, we long for your presence. And the way you do it is you just ask him. You don't have to, God, please, would you come? I mean, he it says in Luke, doesn't it, talks about if your son asks you for a bread, would you give him a stone? If you ask for this, would you give him that? And then it says, if you, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So we don't have to like plead and beg. We just have to say, Holy Spirit, would you come and fill me again? Fill me with your presence, God. Often, as I'm laying in bed at night, I say, Holy Spirit, come fill me. Come and fill me as I'm sleeping. Pour your Spirit into me. And I want to urge us to long for God's presence, not primarily for what you want to see or do, or the calling over your life, but because you just love God. Just long for his presence because you long for him. And he loves to answer, he loves to come. So I'm just going to pray for us. I can really feel the presence of God here. I don't know whether you can, but I'm trusting that you can. And you think when God comes and meets with us, it looks different for everyone. So sometimes it's peaceful and quiet. Sometimes it's loud. sometimes you laugh, sometimes you cry. And I think the key thing for us is to realize, I think what we need to do is say, God, I don't care how you come. I don't care what it looks like. I just want you, whatever it looks like.
Can you stop?
Just want you, whatever it looks like. And so I'm just going to pray for us. And I think we've got some words of knowledge for healing. And we'll just pray for some healing.
We're going to do healing.
So, yeah. You guys okay? Why don't you just receive from God however you feel most comfortable doing that?
Oh, God.
You might want to put your arms out, stand, kneel, sit, whatever you want to do. And I'm just going to pray for the presence of God to come and for an impartation of God's presence. Thank you, Father. So, Father, I just want to thank you so much for your presence with us already. God, I thank you that you are eager to come, that you love to come and meet with your children.
Lord.
Jesus said, it's better that you go. Jesus, you said, it's better that you go so you can send the promise of the Holy Spirit. And the promise for us is the Holy Spirit, that you would flow through us like a river. And so come, Holy Spirit, right now. Just pray, would you come? Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us afresh right now. Thank you, Father, that it's your presence that sets us apart from everyone else on the planet.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, come, Holy Spirit. Just let him fill you. Just let him come to you. I just want you to take a moment, actually, just to, if you feel like you need to do this, there's no worries if you don't, but maybe as I've been talking, you've realized that you've settled and that your hunger for God has kind of got less than it was or less than you'd want it to be. And if that's you, I just want to encourage you to repent. Just all that means is to change your thinking. So I want you to come to the Father and say, Father, I repent for settling. I repent for not being as hungry as I'd like to be. And I ask that you'd forgive me.
God.
I ask that you'd forgive me. And I'll just pray for just an increase of your presence in my life.
God.
Why don't you just do that with him right now? Thank you, Father.
Come, Lord.
Holy Spirit. Father, we just want to say we want you. We want your presence because we love you. We want you because we love you. Father, we thank you for all the stuff you've called us to. We're so grateful for it. But God, above all of that, we long for you. We know that you are the prize, God. You are the great reward.
Lord.
You are the great reward.
Oh, God.
I just pray you teach us how to just grow in intimacy with you before anything else, God.
Oh, God.
Grow in intimacy with you, Father. Thank you that everything flows out of that place. Thank you, Father, for your presence. Thank you, Father, for your presence. Just keep receiving, guys. Just keep focused on God, because he's going to keep coming and meeting with you. He knows exactly what you need and where you're at. Just keep asking him for more. Just say, Father, I just want more of you. God loves it when we're hungry for more. He didn't say to Moses, oh gosh, you should have been grateful the last time. He was like, all right, I'll come, because he's attracted to hunger. So just keep asking him for more. Just to say, tech guys, if you can unmute my team in a bit, that'd be great, because we've got some words of knowledge. But I'm just going to share a couple. Just keep receiving. So I felt like God speak to me about wanting to heal lungs this morning. So people who've got issues with their lungs and breathing. And also I felt God speak about someone who's got a pain in their coccyx, which is the bone right at the bottom of your spine. It's your tailbone.
Oh, God.
And I feel like you've got an injury there, maybe through having children or just through an injury. I don't know, but I feel like God wants to heal you. So just want to encourage you just to receive if either of those makes sense to you. If you need healing in your lungs, just put your hand on your lungs and on your chest. And I'm just going to trust that even as we're releasing the words, that the Holy Spirit is going to be working, because he knows what you need, and he doesn't need anyone to pray for you. He can come and do it just because he's very powerful. Sarah and Tim, I think you're on mute, so just be careful of feedback just for a moment, but go for it.
I have
okay, go for it, Sarah.
a hiatus hernia or stomach problems.
And
there may be more than one person, but people who've had words spoken over them that has caused them to shut down emotionally. That they would say they used to feel emotions, but now that they can't. And that God wants to just bring freedom in that area today for you to experience the full gamut of emotions. You know, he's a God that is emotional, and yeah, he wants freedom for people today in their emotions.
Right. Tim, just lean over and do it in the same screen. Do it in the same. Oh, go on then, Tim. Go for it.
Yeah, so I struggled to sleep last night, which is often a sign that God is speaking to me about people who are having difficulties sleeping, and just a sense that some people are suffering from really bad insomnia because of anxiety, and God just wants to take away that anxiety. It's something that I've suffered from in the past, so it's often a reminder to me that there are people struggling with that. Mm-hmm. Also, plantar fascia, of pain in the soles of your feet, usually from exercise if you're a runner or if you do a job where you're standing all day. If that's you, we'll pray for you in a minute.
Great, thanks, Tim. Vicky, have you got anything to add?
Just similar with Tim, that's the same thing of struggling to sleep, insomnia, and just also sense that, you know, someone's in the middle of just crossroads where you need to make a decision. I think that's what's also keeping you up, and just God wants to just give you some sense of direction to that. And just more, maybe pushing more into just being intimate with the Father more to get to that answer as well, just pushing in to keep pushing in. Yeah.
Great. Okay, we've got a little bit more time. I'm just going to take a couple minutes, Clive. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Right. If you're responding to any of those words, why don't you just lift your hands to the Lord and we're going to pray. So lungs, coccyx, insomnia, hiatus, hernia, release of emotions, plantar fasciitis, crossroads coming, anything else that I've forgotten. Yeah, Father, just come. Just lift your hands to the Lord. Father, we just pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would come. Thank you that you're already there. We just pray. We just declare breakthrough in Jesus' name in all these situations. Come, Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Come, Holy Spirit, we just pray that you would come and do what only you can do, Father. We look to you, God. We pray. We just speak to pain in people's bodies and we command it to go in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for, we just break off insomnia. Just pray, God, for your peace to come.
God.
Let your peace come. We just pray that anxiety would shift in your presence. Just release rest and peace in people's bodies. We pray for freedom to emotions. God, we thank you that you've made us emotional. That you love emotion, God. That you're an emotional God. And we just pray, unlock our emotions, God. Unlock our hearts. To feel what you feel, to connect with you in a deeper way. Holy Spirit, we just pray. We just love you so much, God. We look to you. We fix our eyes on you. We just pray, God, that you would stir us up, God, with a fire for your presence like we've never known before.
Lord.
God, we recognize, God, that our lives, when we said yes to you, we gave our lives to you, God, and you are looking for lives that are surrendered to your will, to your plan, to your presence. And we just want to say yes to you, God.
Oh, God.
Know that when we say yes to you, we're going to be okay.
Lord.
Thank you for your presence, God. Thank you so much for your presence.
Lord.
Yeah. Just want to pray. I don't know. Miriam, your little girl, just want to pray. I don't know what your name is, but you're very beautiful. I just pray the Holy Spirit on you. I pray that you would know the Spirit of God like you've never known him. That you would grow up to be a woman who is a leader, who sees God's presence come wherever you go. You'd be a joy bringer and a leader. Why don't we just pray right now for that?
Oh, Lord.
Beautiful girl, for your beautiful daughter, God, to come to know you in a radical way. Thank you, Father.
Do it, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Just feel free to keep receiving. Clive, I'm going to hand back to you. But God, I can really sense God, so I hope you guys can.